It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Alphabet books are usually for brand new readers. They're a time-honored way to learn the letters, sounds, and rules of a language. You know, A is for apple, that whole thing. Well, not so in Raj Haldar and Chris Carpenter's new book, P is for Pterodactyl, the worst alphabet book ever. It might actually be the most difficult alphabet book ever written, and also, I think, the most entertaining. P is for Pterodactyl shuns nice, rule-following words in favor of some of the most gnarly and confusing words in English.
A is for Azel.
Azel.
Isle.
B is for
Bdellium? Okay.
Bdellium.
Delium?
C is for Caesar.
Kazar or God, I don't know.
Czar. Kazar.
The book is all about the vestigial organs of language, silent letters. We have Raj and Chris with us, the authors of P is for Pterodactyl, the worst alphabet book ever. They're going to tell us more about it. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Raj, let's start with you. How did you get the idea to write an alphabet book exclusively featuring words that break the rules?
Well, it's all sort of started as a group of friends and I, Chris included, were talking about strange, tricky words in the English language. And Chris, maybe you can actually tell the origin story a little better.
Yeah, well, we were visiting with our mutual friend who had a young kid. His name's Isaac. And we were playing with these learn-to-read alphabet flashcards. And it was like A is for apple. And when we got to Q, the flashcard said Q is for quinoa. You know, which we thought was funny because, first of all, what 3 or 4 year old, knows about quinoa? You know, like I know about gummy worms, I know about birthday cake, I know about quinoa. Those are my three things, you know.
Q is for quinoa.
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 So we just kind of got a laugh out of that, and then we also said, well, wait a second, that's not even a very good, like, Q word. You know what I mean? Because you don't say it like a regular Q. It's more of a K sound. And so if you think like us, you know, the next thing you think of is, well, what if we wrote a whole alphabet book with bad words like that?
We'd spend a month or two with a Google document, and we'd pop into that document and add a couple words that started with a silent letter. And as that document started to populate, I think we both kind of, it was very clear to us that a world was evolving that was really kind of potentially exciting for a children's book. A world filled with czars and gnomes and tchotchke.
Yeah, some of these words are pretty obscure, and they can be really, really tricky to say, even for grown-ups. I went to Google for help on a couple of these. But so this took you some time to do, a few years, right?
Yeah, correct. So we started from a place where, you know, Chris is a computer programmer, I'm a rapper producer, and so we didn't know anybody in book publishing, and so, you know, we really were starting from square one. So the whole process from, you know, ideation to finished book took almost 3 years. The book kind of also changed shapes a couple times in that, I think at first we were thinking, maybe this is just a sort of funny, gifty book for adults. But we started to realize that it could really have legs for kids. I think, you know, we went and did a couple readings in these last few weeks, and I've been, astounded by how much 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds love big, goofy, unwieldy words. We point to the cover of the book and we ask what this purple flying animal is, and, you know, kids that are just learning the language all know what it is and how to say pterodactyl.
We could spend all day complaining about the insanity of English spelling rules, but a handful of the world's words in P is for Pterodactyl actually come from other languages. Why did you decide to include those words in particular?
Well, I think the idea was to make the book as educational as possible, you know, and also if we limited ourselves to just English words, we couldn't get it done.
That's absolutely true.
D is for Djibouti.
G is for gnocchi.
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 J is for Jaya Aliyah.
Aliyah. Why can't I say it? Aliyah.
I don't know.
The reality is I think it's more important than ever that books like this are expansive and that, you know, kids understand that the English language is a living, breathing thing that, you know, is also a conversation between cultures. And and so it was important to have words like Hailai and Djibouti. It's a good opportunity for kids.
One person described the English language to me as sort of the Borg of language. It just keeps assimilating other languages and owning them. We're talking with Raj Haldar and Chris Carpenter about their new book, P is for Pterodactyl, the worst alphabet book ever. It's not just the words that are tricky in P is for Pterodactyl. The sentences you feature them in sound like tongue twisters Lewis Carroll might have written. How did you come up with those?
So that was very much Chris's footprint on this project.
Initially it just became like a puzzle to fill out. You know, we would write a list of silent or a list of words that started with a silent letter for a particular letter of the alphabet, and then it became, you know, can I put these words into a sentence that is, you know, silly and nonsensical, but a sentence nonetheless. So things went from a list of, you know, pterodactyl and Ptolemy to Ptolemy the psychic pterodactyl struggles with psoriasis, something like that.
Ptolemy the psychic pterodactyl struggles with
Psoriasis?
Yeah, so that was, for me, that was a lot of the motivation, you know, just to see if I could do that for every letter of the alphabet in such a way that, you know, got a chuckle.
And that sort of rhythm, the alliterative rhythm that we kind of carry through, really started from day one. And as we started to really see this thing as a children's book, we started to kind of also add words. You'll notice as you look at the sentences, there are other words for each letter within that sentence that have, you know, a silent letter in it. So, for example, in B is for Delium, we also use the word doubt in the sentence. So there's kind of levels of depth that you can dig into with the book.
The charging tsunami washed away all of Chavosky's
Jacobsky's tchotchkes.
The wren wrapped the rabbit's gift in red but forgot to write a note.
And I noticed the czar is actually a Czech. This was just an extremely enjoyable read. Neither of you are authors by trade. Chris, you're a computer programmer. Raj, you're a musician. Your background is as a rapper. How did that influence you as you wrote this book?
I think there is something. As somebody from my entire adult life, I've been putting out rap albums, and there is a bit of similarity in this concept of, really, in a rap song, you have to really look at each couplet and make sure that it's saying, it's communicating exactly what you want to communicate, because it flies by so fast.
I never subscribed to crosstown beef. The Baroness of Broad Street, Bowling Green, black folding the sheets, holding the heat for months before they flow in the streets. 89 wise, intelligent, live and unique.
You know, with a book like this, we were working, you know, not done a word count, but I'm sure it's just a few hundred words, really. But, you know, it's astounding to me that we took 3 years and poured over just these few words for this project. And I see a similarity there.
Chris, writing this book, what was it like for you? You have a daughter. Has she taken a whack at reading P is for Pterodactyl?
She has, yeah. My daughter's a little young. She's three. I think that she learned what a pterodactyl was. She's on that level. I look forward to rereading it to her as she gets older. And she loves when we read to her. You know, in the evening, the number of books that we read to her becomes like a point of negotiation. You know, like, hey, Mila, that's my daughter's name. You know, it's really late, past your bedtime. Let's just read one book tonight, and then you have to go to bed. And she'll say, how about five books? Five, and we will usually just read her five books, you know. And just in reading to her, I just saw, you know, how much it really opened up the world for her. You know, not to sound like cliche about it, but it's really true. I mean, we'll be, you know, going about our day, and she'll say something which will indicate to me that, yeah, she learned that from that one book that she read, you know. And that became a huge point of, like, motivation for me to put something out there that can really, you know, open up children's minds.
Raj Haldar and Chris Carpenter, the authors of P is for Pterodactyl, the worst alphabet book ever, which came out this month. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope to talk to you again.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
P is for Pterodactyl.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm John Munson.
Wishing we never die, never be lost and gone. If we levitate or we reach the sky, all alive. All my life I always wonder why. The promises of the gods are just flaws of the human mind. Human lives appreciated. Molecules is vibrating. Today.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. I'm here all week, folks, and then on Monday, new host Kate Archer-Kent joins the morning show for good. She's a morning person who's passionate about bringing you conversations that will make you think, make you wonder, and make you smile. We just talked about a children's book that draws attention to some crazy spellings in the English language, and we're continuing the literary discussion now. Later today on The Larry Mueller Show, the director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center shares her new favorite picks for young readers. Now, we want to hear about your old favorites. Call us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Here's what we want to know. What is your favorite children's book? Either a favorite that you read to your children, or a favorite that was read to you, or just a favorite children's book that you read as a child. Do you remember it from when you were little? Did you come across it as an adult? Why do you buy children's books? Do you read The Snowy Day to your children or grandchildren? Do you buy kids' books for other people? Share your stories. We want to hear about your favorite children's book this morning at 800-642-1234. Keely Boltina is executive producer of The Morning Show, and she joins us in studio to talk about kids' books. Good morning, Keely.
Good morning, John.
So my parents read to me until I learned how to read myself, and then I kind of took that over. But the first book I remember my mother reading to me was a Dr. Seuss, Yertle the Turtle, and I still remember, I'm Yertle the Turtle, oh marvelous me, for I am the ruler of all that I see. And I bought that book later on, and I read it to my children, and they enjoyed it also, along with a lot of other Dr. Seuss stuff. What book do you first remember being read to you?
Goodness, I went through so many when I was little. I do have one book that did not have very many words, and I actually got it when my grandma was moving out of her house, and it was a counting book, and I remember that the pages were thicker, and it would start with, you know, one animal, and then a second, and, you know, 10 ladybugs at the end of it, and they just kind of built on one another. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to the words, but then running my fingers over that texture of the different, you know, cutouts that were in it, and something about that just always stuck with me. You mentioned the Dr. Seuss books. Those are great, but as a parent now, they're really long. Those are long books. They just are.
Well, but we heard the section of the program we just heard about P is for Pterodactyl. One of the authors said that his daughter negotiates at night for five books. So what if they were five Dr. Seuss books?
You can't do five Dr. Seuss books. You
really?
Definitely have to. You can work in some of the others. I can't pronounce the words in the Dr. Seuss books, John. So,
really?
Right.
Oh, see, yeah, I had a lot of. Well, see, my father was in radio, and so I had an announcer reading to me sometimes. That was kind of.
I love it. I think it's interesting that when I mentioned the book that you asked me about, I went right back to my grandma. And another person on our staff also has a connection with children's literature and her grandmother. I want to go ahead and share with you Jana Rose Slice's story about her favorite children's books.
When I was little, I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house. She watched me through the day, and reading was a huge part of our day. She had this whole set of books that I loved. They were Raggedy Ann and Andy and all of their toy friends. And years later, I was thinking about these books, but I didn't even know what they were called. And all I could remember about the book was that in the beginning of each one, there was a map of the playroom and the backyard where all of the adventures took place. And my grandma has now passed. And I briefly mentioned it to my mom once, like, do you remember these books? Do you remember what happened to them? And she didn't. And of course, all of my grandma's stuff is gone and the house is sold by that time. And last year for Christmas, my mom didn't ask me what I wanted, which is very unusual because she always did, especially because she asked me what my boyfriend wanted for Christmas. So I was a little bit nervous what I was going to open. But on Christmas Eve, I opened my gifts and it was this whole set of these books that I had loved so much as a kid. So not only my mom and my sisters figured out what the books were, they also tracked down almost everyone in the set. So I now have them and take one out and read every once in a while and kind of giggle that they made me so happy back then.
I think that's the neat thing about books is that certainly it's about the words, certainly it's about the story and the lessons and the illustrations, but it's also about the people that we're with when we read those books and how that really just resonates with us.
Well, and there's, you know, the idea of being read to, and Wisconsin Public Radio certainly has capitalized on that over the years with the long-running series Chapter a Day. We enjoy hearing someone else read to us, and especially if they can do character voices, so much the better. And children really seem to like that. I really loved hearing Laura's story there. Share your story. What's your favorite children's book? What's the book you remember most from childhood? Either a book that you read yourself or a book that someone else read to you. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can share via email, ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. And if you have a picture of that book, if you still have the book and you tweet that at us, that would be even more cool or cooler or whichever you prefer. 800-642-1234. We're talking about children's books. And by the way, the Larry Mueller Show will continue the conversation about children's books a little bit later on today at 11 o'clock. The director of the Cooperative Children's Book Center, KT Horning, will be here to share her new favorite picks for young readers. And get this, her list includes a mystery novel for three-year-olds called Baby Monkey Private Eye. And for middle grade readers, there's a Civil War adventure with dinosaurs called The Dactyl Squad. That's must listen to radio at 11 o'clock on the Larry Mueller Show today. But right now, we want to hear about your favorite children's book, either a book someone read to you when you were a child or maybe some books that really meant a lot to you growing up. We've heard about Keely Bultina's favorite book when she was a little one, and we just heard a really cool story from Jana Rose Schleiss. I understand that we also have a story from one of our other producers here at the morning show, Colleen Leahy, who shared with us as well. How about if we listen to that?
So when I was growing up, I loved the series of Unfortunate Event books by quote-unquote Lemony Snicket, also known as Daniel Handler. And I started reading them when I was in, like, late elementary school, early middle school, and there were 13 of them, and I was just completely obsessed, and every time a new one came out, I would get it, and I would read it, and stay up and read it, and not sleep. And the last one came out, There were 13 because it's a series of unfortunate events. And the last one came out in my freshman year of high school, and I still read it, and I wasn't even that embarrassed.
Oh, that's precious. 800-642-1234. That was Colleen Leahy, one of our producers here at the morning show. We have Mitchell with us from Oshkosh. Mitchell, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thank you. And what's your story?
My favorite book when I was younger is Go, Dog, Go. I absolutely loved seeing all the illustrations of that, like you guys mentioned earlier. It's just a really fun book for me to read. And with books and being younger, we had a huge bookshelf and like a whole shelf out of it dedicated to just children's books. And my sister and I, as we were growing older, we would also start to read them to each other or just read them on our own leisure. It just really resonated with me when I was younger.
Go, Dogs, Go. I remember that. Let's see. Do You Like My Hat? I think that was one of them. Mitchell, thanks for that. Let's go to Tracy in Fond du Lac. Tracy, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. So I really got hooked on the Sandra Boynton books. Your guest speaker alluded to the fact that, you know, the Dr. Seuss books are really long. And these Sandra Boynton books, like, for example, the Going to Bed book, it's just really fast, really straightforward. It helps with my, I read these books to my 8-month-old daughter, and they just have excellent messages that just rhyme, and they are just really well written, and I just like them all.
Tracy, thanks for sharing that with us. I really appreciate it. Angela is with us in Partyville. Angela, good morning.
Good morning. I agree with the last two callers that the Dr. Seuss, now some of them are really long, and some of them now have little cardboard books like the Go Dogs Go, and there's another one called the I Book that talks a lot about pronouns. It teaches the kids pronouns like my I see, his I see, his I see me, my I see him. But so I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and something interesting I noticed was with my 5-year-old, friends gave me the Goodnight Moon book, and they were like, oh, my kids love this book. You're going to love it. And my son didn't care about it. But my 2-year-old absolutely loves it.
Okay. Angela, thanks for sharing that. Chris, let's go to you for a quick story. Chris, good morning. Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just calling. I liked a lot of the Dr. Seuss books as a kid, read them to my kids when I got older. I really like Hop on Pop, Fox and Sock, stuff like that, with a lot of rhymes, tongue twisters. Trying to read them with the kids is fun.
Got it.
And then as I was like in my, late childhood, maybe even into middle school, I really got into books by Wilson Walls, Where the Red Fern Grows, Summer of the Monkeys. Can't think of all of them, but.
Okay. Yeah. Chris, we got to go. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And thank you to everybody who called. Keely, last word to you.
Goodnight Moon is great until you read it for 765 times, and then it loses its appeal. So you just set it on the shelf, and then you come back to it.
I read the entire Chronicles of Narnia to my children one chapter a night.
You're very impressive, John.
I am. Thank you. Thanks for noticing.
Anytime.
Hey, let's keep this children's book conversation going. Join us at 11 on The Larry Mueller Show for more about children's books. At 11 o'clock this morning on the Ideas Network. Coming up next, we discuss whether a fashion show featuring models in lingerie still resonates with people today. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network.